excitement going on there.
Scores! Roll the highlight reel. 6-0 Flames.
You can put it in the win column.
Yeah, baby, yeah, baby, yeah, baby.
This is Flames Talk with Pat Steinberg and Wes Gilbertson on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
All right, let's get it going as we are underway on this Monday edition of Flames Talk. The offseason is officially underway now on Flames Talk. It is Monday, April 21st. With Wes Gilbertson of Post Media, my name is Pat Steinberg. Welcome to the Sports Drive, brought to you by Calgary Lock and Safe. Did you know that barrier-free access doors are required for commercial entrances and public washrooms? Are you compliant? Visit CalgaryLockAndSafe.com. Yes, we're coming at you from our Groundworks downtown studio on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, or wherever you get your podcasts. Wes with us all week. Hello, Mr. Gilbertson.
Hello, buddy.
It's the first day of the offseason. Here we are. First day of Flames Talk off season. You know, season ended on Thursday. Friday, you're breaking down game 82. Saturday, locker cleanout day. Sunday, off day. Monday, off season Flames Talk is officially underway. I think that it would have been a whole lot more fun if we were doing getting ready for game one of Calgary Winnipeg or something like that on this Monday. We're not. That is what it is. But one thing that I think is locker cleanout day was on Saturday. I think leading the positives of this season, leading the reasons to feel good about a non-playoff year would be the play of Dustin Wolf. What a year Dustin Wolf just had. And now the question becomes, how does he follow it up? Feels like the Flames have found their answer in Net West, but you never know after just one season with the most bizarre position in sports. Like, it is such an unpredictable spot. It is so hard to read what comes next and project when it comes to this position. I know you wrote about Dustin Wolf for Monday's papers and online at the Post Media sites. What'd you write about? Just give us the gist of kind of your thoughts on Dustin Wolf after his first full season at the highest level.
Well, this won't surprise you because you've heard me say this before, from my vantage point, the single most significant storyline of this season for the Flames, and I would have said this even if they managed to squeeze their way into the playoffs, the single biggest storyline or development is the confirmation that they have one of those star-in-the-making, soon-to-be-stud goaltenders. And I think especially in this city, that is such... crucial news. I mean, how long have you and I gone through the process where at the end of a season, it's okay, well, what are they going to do about their goaltending? Who's going to be the starting goalie next year? Do they stick with Ramo? Do they stick with Elliott? Do they stick with Smith? Are they trading Markstrom?
Is this Joey McDonald's year? Will Leland Irving finally be the guy?
It has been very, very difficult to find upper echelon goaltenders for this franchise. They've had two in their 45 seasons in Calgary. They've had two sort of legendary goaltenders and then a lot of stop gaps along the way. And that's why, for me, the story of 24-25 is the emergence of Dustin Wolf. And the fact, and we're going to hear that I'm not the only one who feels this way, but the fact that it suddenly feels like the Flames are set at that absolutely crucial position for a long, long, long time.
So locker cleanout day was on Saturday, and lots of questions about Dustin Wolf, lots of talk about Dustin Wolf coming out of that. And you know, the question that you asked Dustin at his season-ending media availability is, like, is the season you just had what you were expecting? Because on the outside, I think you and I were both fairly, like, you know, I think, not cautiously optimistic. You know, I think confidently optimistic that Dustin Wolf could have a really, really good season and could start to establish himself. But I had high expectations. He exceeded them for me. Would that be the same for you? Did he exceed what you thought he was going to do?
Yeah, absolutely. I based this on the caliber of the defense in front of him. Like, I expected there to be I expected there to be some really tough nights for Dustin Wolf this season. I did not think we'd be talking about a guy who had really kept his team in almost every game and it kept them in the wild card race until game 81. I expected there, and you could rewind the tape and find you and I chatting last summer about how to make sure Dustin Wolf didn't lose his confidence in his first full season because of what the expectations were for this Flames team. And so, you know, the fact that he started strong and was able to, with a couple of minor blips on the radar, sort of roll from start to finish, it exceeds what I thought we'd be talking about.
So what about for him? Was this what he envisioned? Here's what he had to say about that on Saturday.
Any league I've came into, I want to come in and show that I belong. You know, throughout my whole career, I've been doubted as a guy that's small, a guy that, you know, fans aren't too sure about. And, you know, I think my goal has been to come in, no matter where I'm playing, give my team a chance to win. And obviously get in the playoffs is number one, but hopefully win a championship one day. And, you know, I set high standards for myself in terms of I want to come in and play really, really well. And obviously there's going to be learning curves along the way, and I know I can still improve and in some areas of my game to help my team even more, but I wouldn't say it was expected, but certainly something I strived for.
So I think that for Dustin, he would be quite not satisfied, but I think that you could say, yeah, you know, did a lot of good things. It's a good first year. Happy about what he did, knowing there's still work to come. But Wes, you highlighted and pinpointed three other really interesting comments about Dustin Wolf from Saturday as well. That was what Dustin had to say. But let's hear from some of his teammates or people with him on the team, starting with the general manager. This is what Craig Conroy had to say about what Dustin Wolf was able to do this past season.
Every organization, that's what they're looking for. They want to have that number one. And you know, I was fortunate to play with some of the greats, with Patrick Waugh and Grant Fuhr, Mike Vernon, and Kipper. I mean, so when I think of those guys, I always felt good going into a game. You know, we could make a mistake. We could maybe not be on our A game. And those guys always found a way to help you out. I wasn't with them long, but they just gave you that confidence, and that's what you need. So you're always looking for the number one goalie, and to have a young guy come in and play as well as he has, it's very promising moving forward. So we're excited, and he's got a great demeanor about himself. I mean, he still knows. I mean, in our meetings today, he's figuring out some things. He still says, I have to get better in certain areas, you know, and I know what I'm going to do in the summer to try to get myself better, you know. But this year he was able to kind of figure out where in the crease he needed to be, how to see through traffic a little better. He goes, I need to keep improving on all that. I mean, that's one thing. He wants to get better each day, and I can't wait to see him next year.
And I know when Connie sat down with us, kept on comparing him to Kiprusoff there. He compared him to Fuhr, Kiprusoff, and Patrick Waugh. It's like, the fact that, you know, there's a former NHLer and now an NHL GM, not like ironically saying it. Plus, yeah, there was a lot to like about what Dustin Wolf accomplished this year.
Yeah, and I teed up that question to Craig Conroy that you just heard the response, but I teed up that question by saying your predecessors at GM have lost a lot of sleep over the years about this particular position. And he didn't compare it to sort of the search in years past, but harkened back to his own playing days, and that's a pretty impressive list of goalies, isn't it?
Yeah. Here's what head coach Ryan Huska had to say on Saturday.
A young guy that I think there's a strong belief from all of us inside and everybody probably from the outside that we have a goaltender that's going to be a part of this team for many, many years. So I don't think that stress that GMs or coaches go through wondering who's going to be the guy that's going to be there for them is there for us. You know, we talk about Wolfie a lot in the season that he did have, but I think a big reason why he's such a good year was because of the way Dan was too. Like, we had a great tandem. I think when you look at our team, that was probably the strength of our team this year. Those two guys in net gave us a chance to win every night, and it was rare when one of them had an off night. So I think it just gives you a when you're planning ahead, you know you have one area covered. So I think for me as a coach, I know that we're going to be good in net. And then it's a matter of continuing to build our game from there.
So the head coach says, hey, we've got, I know my goaltending position is set going forward. That's pretty strong. That's a pretty strong piece of evidence as well, hey?
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't want to get us sidetracked. We'll touch on this later in the week, but we didn't hear anything that suggested the backup goalie next season will be anyone but Dan Vladar. Did we on Saturday?
No. It comes down. We'll talk about that later in the week.
But yeah.
It's almost solely at this point, I think, a Vladar decision. Not solely, but I think a big chunk of it's going to come down to what Dan wants to do.
Yeah. This one was interesting to me.
So you asked, I think, was he our last guy that we spoke to?
Last player, yeah.
Yeah, last player that we spoke to. Jake Bean of the Flames was the last guy that we spoke to before the coach and GM spoke with us. And I think the last question that was asked was by Wes about Dustin Wolf and what the players and his teammates saw from their goaltender this past season.
I think it's probably to the surprise of less people than people think that he is so good. And we're very fortunate to have him. This team's very fortunate to have him. You don't just find guys like this in free agency maybe once every 5 years. So, I mean, I think it's great, and Flames fans and should be feeling as good as they're probably feeling about him, because he's everything that they probably think he is.
So that was Jake Bean with some pretty strong words on Dustin Wolf. Like, it's pretty clear that they found their goalie. And look, I don't know what year two is going to look like.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that you and I spoke about on the phone is that it doesn't always have to be, like, it doesn't always go linearly, right? Like, it's, oh, great first year. It's just going to be better in the second year, especially at this dumb position, right? You were looking at some of the Calder Trophy finalist goaltenders, of which Dustin Wolf will almost certainly be when they announce the Calder Trophy finalist for this year. Whether he wins or not, it's another story. But I think it would be an absolute injustice and a stunner if he's not one of the three finalists. But it's not always a guarantee that it just, oh, he just gets better in year two, right? There's lots of instances where it doesn't go that way.
Yeah, and there's lots of names on that list of past Calder Trophy nominees who didn't turn out to be world-on-fire goalies. In fact, most of the best goaltenders in the NHL, because of the way they were broken in, were never Calder finalists. But I think when you sort of peel it back, the optimism for me, and I'm sure for the organization, about Dustin Wolf comes from the fact that, well, yes, he did it this season for the first time at the NHL level. This has just been Dustin Wolf's habit. He's been one of the best goalies in whatever league he's played in when he's got comfortable playing there. He was the best goalie 2 years in a row in the Western League. He was the goalie of the year 2 years in a row in the American Hockey League. I'm not saying that when he settles in, he's just going to go on a run of Vezina trophies, but I would say that the fact that this isn't really out of character for Dustin Wolf, I don't see him crashing back to earth. Like the last few Vezina Trophy finalists among goalies, there's still a lot of questions about Stuart Skinner. Alex Nedeljkovic has not turned out to be the stud that maybe you thought, based on his rookie season, he could be. Jordan Binnington would be the most impressive name right now on that list. And yet, I think the optimism with Wolf is that because of the way he was seasoned and, quite frankly, over-seasoned in the Flames organization, he was just ready for this.
Well, let me play this clip from Kevin Woodley as well. He joined us Thursday. Kevin, of course, our goaltending expert in Goal Magazine and NHL.com. And I asked him just that, hey, like, what are some of the challenges that Dustin might face in year number two? And I think this speaks very loudly to kind of exactly what you're talking about right now. This was Kevin Woodley from late last week.
Certainly there's not going to be any nights where they don't know you're coming. Teams will have built the better book. They will have, you know, they will pay more attention to that pre-scout, both because the Flames have been competitive all season and because of the role he played in it. So if there are any weaknesses, real or perceived, teams are going to go after them. That's one thing that can happen as you get into your second year. Typically, though, like in some ways, not going to the playoffs might be a bit of a break. Like at no point does a goaltender's game get picked apart like it does in the playoffs. So, you know, not going to the postseason will keep him out of that spotlight, but the year he's had will ensure it's bright enough that, you know, teams are going to target specific things. I think for the most part, though, that second year as a goalie, it's about taking the next step and playing more games. And yet, because he played so many already this season, I don't know that that's something you worry about. Like, yeah, there's lessons, but he's probably already learned them. The biggest thing is no complacency. And everything I know about this kid says there won't be any. As a matter of fact, you know, I know like there's already some plans to see some coaches and some specialists here in the interior over the summer. Like he's not a young goaltender who is going to just be like, yeah, I made it, I'm done. That happens, but I don't see it happening with Dustin Wolf.
So that, first of all, you're not going crazy. There were bagpipes in the background.
How do I get a bagpipe interlude?
Be more established like Kevin Woodley is. You got some work to do.
Oh, that, Chan, correct me if I'm wrong, but that's metal.
That's metal.
Yes, thank you.
By the way, that was because I was at crypto.com and they were sound checking while we were doing the show. So they were sound checking with bagpipes. So you're not going crazy. There were bagpipes behind Kevin Woodley. But that's a really interesting way of putting it in that, hey, yeah, he's going to deal with challenges and teams are going to have more of a book on him. But this is not a guy who's complacent. This guy has never been complacent. This guy hasn't been allowed to be complacent. And I don't know, that just kind of, I think, wraps it all in a nice little bow that I'm not expecting him to take a massive step back. Maybe he does take a small step back for 1 year, but I don't think it's going to be, like, this isn't going to be Jacob Markstrom being the runner-up for the Vezina and then being whatever he was the following year. I don't see that happening with Dustin Wolf. I think that we're talking about a guy who, you talked about the overseasoning. We know how much this guy works, how the word complacency doesn't exist in his vocabulary. I think we're talking about a guy who is going to do everything in his power to make sure that whatever adjustments he needs to be made in his game, they'll be made, and he'll be a better goalie for next year.
And I think it's so important to recognize that Dustin Wolf has been kind of investing in things that could make him better for a long time. And I'm not just referring to, you know, his parents moving to Los Angeles when he was at a young age to get him closer to some better competition. I mean, like, you know, Dustin Wolf has enlisted the off-season help of one of the most renowned goaltending coaches in the business just for an extra set of eyes on what he's doing. Just Dustin Wolf does a Zoom call. I can't remember if it's weekly or bi-weekly with a mindfulness coach, someone who, you know, talks a lot about sort of finding your mental groove. Like Dustin Wolf has been going, I would say, above and beyond even some of what you hear about pro athletes for quite a while. And I don't expect Calder Trophy nomination is going to make him sit back and forget about everyone who said he was too small to play in the NHL. I don't think a Calder Trophy nomination is going to leave him totally satisfied with a season that ended on April the 17th or 18th. I don't think anyone at the Saddle Dome worries about Dustin Wolf's drive to not just be a really good NHL rookie, but to, and it sounds so far-fetched when you just throw out a sentence like this, but to be one of the best goalies in the league.
Just my favorite stat this year when talking about goalies. Dustin Wolf finished fifth overall with 5.2 wins above replacement via our friends at Evolving Hockey. 5.2 wins above replacement. They had him at 9.8 standings points above replacement. The only four goalies better than Wolf in terms of wins and standings points above replacement: Connor Hellebuck, Anthony Stolarz, Andrei Vasilevskiy, Darcy Kuemper. So in two of those cases, future Hall of Famers. In two of those cases, in Stolarz and Kuemper, they were the best goalies in the league, especially in the back half of the season. So, like, Dustin Wolf impacted his team's results more than every other goalie save four in the NHL via that model. And that sounds right to me. Yeah. Flames are not at 96 points and tied for a playoff spot without Dustin Wolf. They're probably closer to 85, 86, 87 points if they don't have Dustin Wolf this year.
It's a very similar list of goalies who are the four full-time starters that finished above him in five-on-five save percentage as well.
Yep. Let me read you a few texts. 96960. Heath writes, guys, I'm glad you brought up Wolf. Fans are going to keep on going on about wanting that game breaker. And yeah, sure, the team still needs. There's no period, so I'm having trouble with this. Team still needs that. Having a goaltender like this all ready for a season is a huge check mark for a rebuilding club. He just seems like a different type of cat, and I can see him next year being even better. And to comment on you suggesting there's only two upper echelon goalies in the franchise, well, I do agree that Vernon and Kiprusoff were true upper echelon. He's just going to go on about Trevor Kidd, which is fine enough. We don't have time to talk about Trevor Kidd, but the first part on Wolf is fair. I apologize. The voice to text sometimes makes it difficult.
And to Heath's point, and this was sort of the crux of what I wrote today, and you can find it on the Post Media sites, but Heath talks about that sort of, you know, that list that every GM has, that checklist to be a championship caliber roster. Well, what do you need on there? You need a cornerstone type center, and Craig Conroy is still looking for that. You need a stud defenseman, and maybe Mackenzie Weegar's that. You certainly hope Zane Parekh's that, and you need a stalwart goalie. And the one definite check mark that I feel like the Flames have right now is that stalwart goalie.
Just turned 24. Like, the sky is the limit.
Last week.
Murray says, are there stats for how many times goalies were pulled per year? I believe this only occurred once this season. I think that says something. I'm curious how previous years looked. I don't have the comparison, but I do know that, only once was Dustin Wolf pulled, not because he was playing, you know, not because it was his fault, but it was that one game in Toronto where he was pulled after 40 minutes of play, and Dan Vladar finished off that game. 1-82, the goalie that didn't start, the goalie that started, rather, didn't finish.
Not having those stats at my fingertips, Ryan Huska is also much less prone to pulling his goalie than other coaches we've seen through Calgary.
It's Pat and Wes along with you this hour on Flames Talk. We're coming at you from our Groundworks downtown studio, your local experts for foundation and crawl space repair.
You're locked on Flames Talk, only on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Wrapping up the hour with the Daily Flames Roundtable. The Daily Flames Roundtable will continue for the rest of the week before it goes on hiatus for the offseason and returns for the 25-26 campaign. It is Pat Steinberg, Wes Gilbertson of Post Media, and now Derek Wills joins us on the Daily Flames Roundtable, brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Country Hills. The fastest growing segment of vehicles they sell is electric. Informed buyers are coming to see. Perhaps you should discover why minutes from the Calgary airport. Usually we do two topics on the roundtable, but as the season is now over, just going to spend each one diving in on one topic and going around the table with the three of us on that one topic. And it's a good way to start. You know, we'll get into like team MVP and biggest surprise and start maybe to look ahead to next season. But, you know, still wrapping up the 24-25 campaign, which saw the Flames finish with 96 points when it's all said and done. So, guys, there will definitely be, and I think we've all seen it, there's definitely a faction of Flames fans out there that is frustrated with this year, and that, you know, this was a year that was supposed to start a rebuilding year, and yet they are back in a very similar position, and that is ninth in the Western Conference or 10th in the Western Conference, and missing the playoffs by, in this case, a tiebreaker, or missing by a point or two. And there is a group of Flames fans, and I don't say this critically, just representing this part of the fan base that says, same old Flames, mushy middle, mediocre, not good enough to go deep, not bad enough to get a good pick, and no playoff hockey to boot. So, gents, what would be the biggest reason for you why, despite those things being true, they are ninth in the Western Conference. They're not going to play playoff hockey, and they're not going to get the high pick. Why does this feel different this season? Why is this maybe not the same old mushy middle Flames in your eyes?
Am I limited to just one reason? Because I've got a few.
Hit it.
All right. First and foremost, in my first 10 seasons calling Flames games, the Flames were a cap team. They spent pretty close to the salary cap every single season. This season, that was not the case. Following it throughout the regular season, the Flames had either the second most or the third most cap space in the NHL. And at the end of the season, when I look, only the Blue Jackets had more cap space than the Flames. So it's not like they were spending as much money as they possibly could chasing one of the final playoff spots in the Western Conference. They had plenty of salary cap space to work with. They will have plenty of cap space moving forward. So that would be the number one reason for me. The number two reason, and maybe these aren't number one, two, three in order, but the top three reasons for me is that in the past, the Flames trying to chase a playoff spot would trade draft picks and they would bring in older players. And they traded a number of first round picks over the years, you know, trying to chase down a playoff spot or, you know, trying to win a round or two. And you know, this year they really did the opposite of that. They continued to acquire draft picks and prospects, and they still had success, but they've also set themselves up, at least I think, to have even more success in the future, because whether they actually draft and develop those players or they potentially use some of those draft picks to trade for more NHL-ready players, I just think that they're better set up to have success in the future. And the number three, whether it be, you know, what they did in free agency last summer or what they didn't do approaching the trade deadline this year, the Flames have continued to get younger. And yes, they still have a core group of players that's a little bit older. You can't have everybody in their early to mid-20s on your team. You're going to have some older guys to compete and also to show the younger guys what it takes both on the ice and off the ice at the NHL level. But you know, the Flames continue to get younger. And they didn't spend a bunch of money in free agency, and they didn't trade away picks and prospects and spend their cap space approaching the trade deadline to try to push themselves over the finish line and to finish in the top eight in the Western Conference. So for me, guys, the fact that they've got all of this cap space and that they've got all of these picks and prospects and that they've managed to get younger and still be competitive, pretty impressive work by Craig Conroy.
My biggest reason, guys, that I scribbled down when I was kind of mulling this one over is just the fact that the contributions in a lot of ways came from a really young group this season. And yes, Nazem Kadri led the team with 35 goals. And yes, Jonathan Huberdeau was second on the team in points. And those aren't young players. Mackenzie Weegar and Rasmus Anderson end up 1-2 in ice time. Those aren't young players. But I look further down, and you know, Pat and I just spent the last segment on Dustin Wolf, who was, in my eyes, the Flames' most important player this season. Well, he just turned 24. How many of their big goals came off the stick of Matt Coronato, who scored 24 goals this season at the age of 22? Connor Zary, while on a bit of a yo-yo this season because of injury issues, was effective when he was in the lineup. Kevin Ball played top pairing minutes for most of the season as a 24-year-old defenseman. And so the biggest sort of reason for me that I see the Flames able to escape the mushy middle, or maybe that I see this as not as good of an example of the mushy middle as we've seen in the past, is that they have guys in a certain age group that they hope will lead them out of that. Now, with that, I would say that there's a cautionary tale here. And Willsy, you referred to it already. Like, in when the Flames exceeded all expectations in 14-15, and that team made the playoffs and this team didn't, and mm-hmm. yet I think there's a lot of valid comparisons. When they exceeded all expectations in 14-15, they fooled their general manager into thinking they were a lot closer to contending than they were. And suddenly a pair of high draft picks go out the door for Dougie Hamilton, and the whole sort of direction, I think, changed it. And for
they
that,
they started chasing again, right?
They really did, and it got them stuck in that mushy middle eventually. And so I think it's really, well, I don't see them stuck there right now. I do believe it's on Craig Conroy to make sure that they don't wind up stuck there. And that means not chasing an overachieving season with moves that you're probably not ready for. It means as you get younger, thanking guys like Joel Hanley and Kevin Rooney for their service, but giving some of those depth roles to younger players. I do think it's just so crucial that the Flames don't let this near miss and, yes, 1 point outside of a playoff spot alter the direction that they finally set course on.
Well, and there's kind of the two things for me, too. And number one is the fact that, I mean, the biggest reason, and Wilsey, as we were talking about last hour, or earlier this hour, rather, only four goalies finished ahead of Dustin Wolf on wins above replacement or standings points above replacement at Evolving Hockey. They had Dustin Wolf on his own worth 5.2 wins this season, so around 10 wow. points for Dustin Wolf right there. And that's a 23, now freshly 24-year-old goaltender who was the biggest reason why they are, or one of the biggest reasons why they were as close as they were. Like, that in and of itself is different than any of the other mushy middle finishes that we've seen for this team. And plus Coronado, plus Kevin Ball, plus Connor Zary, plus Zane Parekh, and the other three guys who debuted at the end. And it just, it feels like, I think what we're all trying to say, I think we're all on the same page in saying, is that yes, the result feels eerily similar, but the path to getting to that result is starkly different. And just to add on to Wes's point, is that not only do I think that the lessons from 10 years ago are there, I also think that those lessons have been learned by Craig Conroy, who was an AGM at the time with Brad Treliving, when they did alter course and they did start to chase again. And so that's not what's going to happen. And Craig Conroy has been more than transparent about that. He has been more than transparent about how we're not done getting younger. We haven't accomplished the goal. Not only did they miss the playoffs, which is something that we heard from Ryan Huska and Craig Conroy and all the players, that this season was great, but we still didn't reach the goal. It's not just that. It's that this is still, you know, if it was a 3 to 5 year plan, now it's a 2 to 4 year plan of where they want to get to, which means they still want to get younger. They still want to make room and make sure that Zane Parekh has an opportunity to make the team next year. But so does Hunter Brustevich, or so does another young defenseman, and so does Rory Karens, or so does Sam Honzek, or so does whoever they draft. Say they draft a center with their first round pick, that guy might have a chance to make the team. Like, this is still, the process hasn't changed. The path hasn't changed, and the direction hasn't changed. Yes, they exceeded internal and external expectations this year, but just because they did that doesn't mean the plan has altered as a result. And to me, that is maybe the most important part, Derek, is that they still have their plan. And this year was great, and it would have been awesome if we were setting up game one, or looking back on game one right now, would have been unbelievable. But doesn't change the fact that they still believe that their plan is in place. They're going to follow their blueprint, and they're not going to be altering course just because of the way this year went.
Yeah, and you know what's really exciting for me is that they've done all of that without tanking, without creating a bad culture that could potentially take quite some time to fix, because we've seen plenty of examples of teams that have tried to be bad so that they could eventually be good, and then they got those high draft picks. You look at the Sabres and, you know, the two first overall picks that they got. Even the Oilers, and the Oilers have been a good team for a little while now, but they weren't for quite some time, even with, you know, guys like Taylor Hall and Nail Yakupov and Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl, who didn't go first overall but did go third overall. Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, another first overall pick. It took them quite some time to repair their culture and to become competitive again. So I think it's important that the Flames have all of this cap space and have all of this draft capital and have all of these prospects and still have managed to build a good culture. And something we heard a lot from managers, coaches, and players throughout the season and heard again on Saturday at Locker Cleanout Day is guys want to come and play here. Well, guys don't want to play for loser organizations. And I think the Flames have pretty quickly built a reputation around the league that, you know, they want to win. Even though eventually the goal is to win a Stanley Cup, they're not willing to hit rock bottom in order to hopefully do that at some point in time down the road. They still want to be a competitive hockey team. You got the new arena on the horizon. That's going to be exciting for guys. And the Flames have so much flexibility because of the cap space and because of the draft capital and because of the prospect pipeline that Craig Conroy, I think, can potentially expedite this in the right way. And when I say that, remember when Matthew Tkachuk was becoming an RFA? I'm not sure if he would have been willing to sign a long-term deal. And you guys have a better memory than I do, but do you think the Flames were in a position to sign him to a long-term deal? I don't think they had enough cap space to get him signed up for 8 years back
at the
then.
At the time, yeah, the biggest reason why it ended up being a three, I think Matthew would have been in the camp. Would they have done an eight? I don't think so. Would they have done a six and buy some UFA years? Yes, I think they would have, but you're right. Like the cap space that they had at the time made it so they would have had to do a number of things to be able to make that happen. Whereas the 3 year deal was something that they could work in with their cap at the time.
Right. So the exciting thing is, I think you guys would agree, as soon as you can sign Dustin Wolf to an 8 year contract, you do it. Because he's probably not going to get less expensive. He's only going to get more expensive. So the Flames are in a position to be able to sign Dustin Wolf or Matt Coronato or Connor Zeri or whoever to a long-term extension if they think that's the right thing to do because they've got plenty of cap space to do it. And with the cap going up, they're going to have even more moving forward. And the other thing is, you know, we keep trying to figure out how this team is going to solve the question mark that they have at center. How are you going to get a number one center or a guy who could potentially turn into a number one center? Well, with all the cap space and all the draft picks and all the prospects, I think the best path could be via trade. So if you don't have the flexibility to be able to make that move, if you don't have the capital that it would take to acquire someone who is or could be a number one centerman, and you don't have the cap space to sign them to a contract, then your hands are tied. You can't make that move. So I just think they're in a great spot right now. They're a competitive team, but they've got plenty to work with, as we've talked about over the last 15 or so minutes, to potentially fast forward the rebuild in the right way. And when I say in the right way, not by signing 30-plus-year-old guys to big long-term contracts in free agency, which is something we've seen them do in the past, I think they can continue to contend and can continue to get younger and to build for the future, but to be competitive today and hopefully even more competitive tomorrow.
That last part you said, Wilsey, I think really illustrates the challenge for Craig Conroy because, yeah, you always want to try and fast track it, and yet the biggest, I suppose, opportunity to screw it up is by trying to fast track it. And while I think we've all said in different ways that the Flames aren't in the mushy middle right now, there's some things that need to happen and happen properly to avoid that.
And when I say do it in the right way, Wes, what I'm trying to say, I suppose, is instead of drafting somebody and hoping they develop into your number one center, you trade for someone who is already down the road a little bit. And this is a bad example because he's already been traded, but Dylan Cousins, for example, if you believed that he could be your number one center in a year or two, and in the meantime, be a middle six guy for you, well, you don't have to wait 3 or 4 years for him to develop. He's already well down that road. So if there's somebody out there like Dylan Cousins, who you think could potentially be that guy moving forward, mm-hmm. I just think you're in a position to go get them potentially.
Yep. Well, that's a good start. We will be continuing to kind of go big picture questions and look back on the season that was and look ahead to the rest of the offseason as we wrap up the Daily Flames Roundtable at the end of the week. So good start, gents. We'll do it again same time on Tuesday, and we'll continue to look back on what was a fun 24-25 season. For now, have a good rest of your Monday. Thank you, Wellesley.
Okay, guys, I'm going to go build a snowman. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Yeah, it's only raining downtown, so we don't have to worry about that here. Thanks, Wilson. Derek Wills, Wes Gilbertson, Pat Steinberg. That is your Daily Flames Roundtable brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Country Hills. The fastest-growing segment of vehicles they sell is electric. Informed buyers are coming to see. Perhaps you should discover why. Minutes from the Calgary Airport as we start to wrap things up this hour on the program. Thanks to Cam and Shan, our outstanding producers. Wes Gilbertson's on Twitter, at Wes Gilbertson. And this has been The Sports Drive, brought to you by Calgary Lock and Safe. Did you know that barrier-free access doors are required for commercial entrances and public washrooms? Are you compliant? Visit CalgaryLockAndSafe.com.